Thank you so much, Pastor Jim. Again, I bring you greetings from Uganda, from my beautiful wife, Sarah, and all our five daughters and our son. As I told you last year, that we adopted a son. Now he's almost 3 years old, and we wanted a man among us, the ladies. And he's really wonderful. We love him, and he keeps us busy. In fact, when I was leaving, he wanted to come with me. We were planning to come with my wife, but she felt not comfortable to leave Jonathan behind, not until he goes to school next year. So probably next year when I come back to the men's conference here, we might come back, we might come together. But all the brothers and sisters, they convey their greetings to you. God has been so good to us. We still have our memories we are cherishing of the last visit of the team. And many people, they still remember faces and names. And sometimes when we are praying for Emmanuel Church, we confess some of the names we can remember. And you did good to us. And you guys, you mean a lot to us, and I'm here to say thank you so much for whatever you're doing, and we are still expecting another team coming anytime. As I said, the door is widely open, and Pastor Jim, you are a father of many pastors and married couples in Uganda. So they always send emails. Some of them, they come to me and say, when is coming back? So we are hungry for what God has put in your life. So anytime you feel God leading you to come with the team, know for sure that we are there to welcome you and to receive you wholeheartedly. We really thank God for the elections in this country. We are praying for you. We are praying for this country, not because of America only, but because of the whole world. Because what is going on here is always going to affect our countries in Africa. And a matter of fact, we have pressure. I don't know whether this is the right thing to say here, but you bear with me if not. Uganda stood against homosexual. And because of that, many aids were cut off, and we are pressurized to let the thing go on in Uganda. But thank God, that God is always on our side. And we believe that pressure now is going to change. And Jesus will continue to reign. Not only in America, but even in Uganda and other countries of Africa. In matter of fact, today evening, there are about 10 churches in our area. They are gathering together to cover Trump with prayers today. I think, we are 9 hours ahead. I think they're already now on their knees. Yeah, praying for Trump and praying for America and the new administration of this country. And I think that is a good thing. The champions are doing well. They are growing in number. We are almost 600, because we have 599 kids now. almost 600, but we see that as an opportunity in our time. We don't see that as a burden. We see that as an opportunity and privilege that God has given us to work together with Him in His labor. Because none of us is taking any credit, because we agreed that this is the Lord's work. The Lord is doing. God is doing it Himself. Mm-hmm. And God is the father to the orphans, and actually the husband to the widows. we are the witnesses of that, because some of them, they are in high grades, like 11th grade to high school to university, and sometimes I sit and ask my question, and I ask myself a question: how can this happen? And God does it. I mean, now we have some people are graduated. There is one graduated as a doctor. Wow. And he can't wait to serve in our medical center, the clinic we are trying to put in place. And I remember when Pastor Jim came with the team, you helped us to purchase the building. And last year when I came here, we wanted to start, operating, but the government refused, and not until we have the nurses block, because they said somebody must be around all the time if we want to operate here. Thank God, the nurses' quarter is already in place, and we are ready to start early February this coming year. We are just looking for vanishing the building and also medical supplies, and we shall start off. But we have the doctor already of our own. Dr. Paul Kakoza, his father left him in my hands when he was 5 years. But I saw the hand of God upon this young man. In every school he went, he was always number one or number two. When he's number two, he cries and he cries and he cries, and he was very competent. And in fact, that saved us a lot of money, because in some of the high schools and college, if you are good performing in academics, you get sometimes a full bursary. I don't know whether you understand that. A scholarship or half a bursary. So he was saving us some money, because he was so smart and loved God. And now he's a doctor. We have others graduated as nurses and teachers. And others graduated in different skills, like vocational skills, cosmetologians, and other vocational skills. When I always see that, I say, Lord, come what may, whatever it takes. This is what I'm going to do the rest of my life. I want to see that someone get to see his future and be grounded in the Lord, discipled in the Lord. To me, that is the profound work that I see and I feel to do the rest of my life to the young men and the other people where God wants me to go. We have just done the final exams. In Uganda, they compare the standard of the school according to the exams of grade 7. That is in primary schools. But our school is always there, number one, number two, or number one in sports, number two, like that, among the 47 schools around there. So even this time, we believe that we are like now Trump and Hillary is. But we are pretty sure that our God is God, and we are going to make it even this time. The church is doing well. The brothers, God has actually added a number of people. And we started a new church like 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago, where I was born. That was a big, big thing to me, because this is the first first born again church in that area, and we started also school from kindergarten to grade 2. That is the first private Christian school in the area. And when God spoke to me about this, because in that we grew up in voodoo, we didn't know anything except voodoo. And though we are Catholics, dominated by Catholic belief, But we didn't see God there. I mean, we just growing up, we grew up respecting voodoo spirits and demons and God of the lakes and moon and things of that sort. And that has been like that over the years. And when God spoke to me, I mean, I saw the church as a candle, a small light that can cast away all the darkness in that area. Thank God we are able to get enough money to buy the land and to put up the temporary shelter. Now we have 75 adults and there are many kids. In fact, in school, from grade 1 to grade 6, to grade 2, we have 106 kids. And this was their first year. And I believe that each year we shall be adding on another class. And God, shows me that this is the turning point of this area, the community and other communities around, because when we are still Catholics, our fathers, they used to have a say: give me a kid of 4 months or 4 years, let him stay with me for another 4 years, he's going to be Catholic forever. And to me, I say, hey, if someone who is just a religious person can determine to keep someone in their doctrine like that, how much more can we make a difference if we give the young ones the truth and you grow up with it and run with it? So pray for us, and we are seeing that God is really doing an incredible work in that area. That is the place I told you some years back. That is the area where I was disowned. I mean, when I gave my life to Christ, they disowned me. They said, I'm no longer part of them, and I'm an outcast. My heart has contacted another God, and the spirits and demons are going to kill every one of them. And they said, you better go and die there by yourself. But God gave me two words in the Bible. One is in Jeremiah. It says that you never go back to them, but they will come to you. I didn't understand the real meaning by that time, but now when I see what God is doing with my father's family and all the relatives, the number of people that has already accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, I just lift up both of my hands and I say, you are God. You are really God. So we have just done with the well on the same land, because this area we always get water over the years from a distance of like 2.5 miles away. We used to carry that on our heads like that. But this is the first well in that area ever. And that is also another big deal. And we see that God is changing the cycle of the situation in that area. And the light has started to shine. And those who actually thought that we have conducted the religion of ignorant people, and they have realized that greater is He that is in us than the one we used to worship in the world. I love it there, and I believe I'll be always there, because I see what God is doing. I want to be a witness of what God is doing and the changes that He's bringing in our country, in our areas, and in individuals' lives. I'm here to say thank you again. I came with a video, but anyway, since we don't have the any machine here, I think those who are in Fort Worth, they will be able to see the video of what the few things among the many we are doing in Uganda. Father, we want to thank you today. Mm-hmm. We thank you for your loving kindness and your tremendous mercy. Thank you for what we can witness in our time, the changes of seasons and times, the changes of governments and leadership. But most of all, I want to thank you for the church, because you promised that you are establishing your church upon the rock, and the gates of hell will never prevail against it, Lord. In all these changes we are witnessing, Lord, that has already become true, that the church is established, and you are the Lord, and you are the Master, and you are the rock of our salvation, Father. Thank you for the church in America, and thank you for the church in Uganda. Thank you, Father, because in all season you are God. When the enemy comes up with a flood, Lord, you raise up the standard of your spirit, and we continue to triumph and win. And it, Lord, today as we are seated before your presence, Lord, to hear from you, I ask you, Father, to bless us and to bless your word in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. When Pastor Jim asked me to preach for him, he was very happy. I was happy, though my English is not that good. I said, we have a say in our language that the one who doesn't know how to dance is always good to dance amongst his people, his own people. They will never criticize, they will just be happy. But though I don't speak fluently, I think God will help me and to understand what God has put on my heart. If you don't mind, we can open up our Bibles. We can open up our Bibles in Genesis. Just recently, we started coming together as men. This is this time. We have one time when we gather together as married couples from different churches. I mean, in our area, I used to be the leader of men in our area among the 58 churches, and my terms expired. They wanted me to keep on leading. I said no. I have to step down and someone else take place. But still, we come together as married couples, and I teach some of the messages from his books and from what I had him teach, and more revelation that God has given me. And that is always, always good. But every Tuesday, we meet as men from morning at 6 in the morning up to 9 in the morning. And we started very small and very humble. We realized that we have, as men, we have to just occupy the town, because our church is somehow hidden in the slum area. But now we gather in the restaurant right there in town in the morning. But I'm always excited to find out, because they open up for us at 5:30 in the morning. But before we begin, I always excited to find men on their knees, crying to God for changes, crying to God for ideas, crying to God to reveal more of his principles and ways to them. I always get excited, and I always also get excited to see how God is changing families, and how men are becoming strong in their families. Because we know that when men change, I believe that families are going to be strong, and churches are going to be powerful, and the country is going to be blessed. The problem in Uganda, I don't know much about here. The problem in Uganda mostly originates from men, not women. Many of us men in Uganda, we are denying our responsibilities. We don't want to be responsible for our families, for anything that we are supposed to be. But I think I see that God is changing everything. And many, many, many women, they are very happy. That includes my wife. They are very, very happy to see the changes in the lives of their husbands as they take a step of taking care of their kids and their wives and be responsible for matters concerning their homes. And I believe that is what God is looking for. God is looking for a man that will be not just a man, but a man of God. Amen. So Genesis chapter 4, we are reading from Genesis chapter 4, beginning from verse 9. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? We can keep on reading verse 10. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood cries into me from the ground. And now art thou cast from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A figurative and a vagabond shall be thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from thy face, or from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall be hid, and I shall be a figurative and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that find me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, soever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any find him shouldn't kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east side, on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived, bare Enoch, and built a city, and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. In the scriptures, I believe I have very short time, and now I came to know that I have to be careful with time in America. I believe very soon Pastor Jim or Peggy, they will say, we are leaving. But I want to try my best to be as clear as possible so that you may know what God actually has put on my heart in this portion of scriptures. In the scriptures we have just read, we see the outcome of the sin that was committed by Adam, extended to his children. And we see these two brothers, we have just read in the scriptures, we see the terrible thing that happened during their time. And my message today is about caring. Care. I don't know whether that's we understand about that. When God came to Cain, he asked him, where is your brother? And Cain responded, am I my brother's keeper? I don't know. You can't ask me about him. I don't know about anything about him. I'm not my brother's keeper. We are living in days where people, they don't care. The word I don't care is as powerful as in the days of Cain. And Cain never knew the reason of all the purpose of living. Because I know that the purpose, one of the major purpose of living is to care for one another and to care and to be stewards of God's property. When Adam was created, the Bible talks about the good things that God put in the Garden of Eden. And finally, the Bible says that when you read Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, the Bible says that God brought man and put him in the garden to take care of the garden. In other words, that he was put in the garden to be responsible. He was put in the garden as a steward of God, to take care of God's property, God's own property. The Bible says that the world and everything thereof belongs to our God. And we are in the world as the stewards of God. We are not just here to eat and die tomorrow. We are here for the purposes of God. And what Cain didn't know, he forgot that having a brother or having someone close, that was a big opportunity. That was a blessing. That was a blessing of serving and caring for one another. Caring for one another. But I realized that the best way of doing the work of God is to run to God and to put God number one. Amen. In our hearts. It's only God who can help us to take good care of his staff, to take care of the things that he has entrusted in our time, in our hands. It takes God's leading to do God, to do everything God's way. I believe, brothers, I'm going to speak here and there. If you are you're waiting for proper arrangement of the message, you might miss my message today because I want to talk here and here. I believe that what the problems we have in our time today, there is no any difference between now and the time of Cain. Sin is trying to dominate. Sin is trying to take over. Sin is always the darkness is always trying to fight the light. But thank God, the light always going to win. Always going to win. So if we are to live in this world, we have to live it according to the principles and the ways of God. And it's only God who can reveal that to us and do it through us and causes us to triumph. I was thinking about the political parties, not only here in America, but even in Africa. When you hear, sometimes you can see God, another hand, and another hand, you can't see God. It is always like that. Sometimes this one dominates another one, God changes the seasons, and this one dominates. Because God is always there to fight the darkness and evil. But now, we are here to take care of and to care for one another. And the way we are to do it as brothers or brethren is to put God first. The Bible says that love God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and your strength and your soul. And then love your neighbor. It is not... Let me dramatize this, my message. Brother Alex, do you mind to come here? And may I get someone else if there's any? Sister Lynn, do you mind to come on? And because this will help me to brief my message. And okay. Can I get someone else? Lynn, you can. No. You can stay there. Let me ask another volunteer here. Okay. Right here. Let us extend a little bit here. And somewhere here. Okay. Okay. Let me just demonstrate this. Give an example as husband and wife. Let me say, you are the wife, he's the husband, and this is Jesus. I think that is this is to carry a lot of burdens here. It's not a safe place. It's not a good chair there. The best way of living and enjoy one another, not only in family but also in the society, is to know this pattern. We are not just walking facing ourselves like that. Once we face ourselves like that, we are always going to crash. We are always going to kill one another. We are going to criticize, because in each and everyone's life, there is good and bad. And I was speaking to young men, those who were looking for a lawful husband to get married, that sometimes what you see here is not all. What you don't see is the most important part in his life or her life. And it's very, very hard to cope up with the bad part of his life in this life, because it's not good. So if we always face ourselves like this, we are always going to crash. But we always face the here and here, and I see her through Jesus. When I see my wife through Jesus, I'm going to see her as a gift from God. I'm going to see her as uniquely made and favored by God. I'm going to see her as a blessing from God. Because through Jesus, everything is nourished and put in place. I don't know whether you understand what I mean. Cain and Abel looked at unto God, and the Bible says before that chapter, you will see that they went to give sacrifices to God, and Abel's heart, he decided to give the best, to give good of his belongings. But Cain, he didn't actually do the same. The way they approached God, that's the way they were going to live in this world. So when Cain didn't give everything to God, give the best to God, give wholeheartedly to God, give himself to God, what came next was not actually God. Once we put God first, he's going to make everything good. He's going to change everything better. I remember one time when Pastor Jim was preaching in Uganda, he said that when you pray, you don't pray God to change your wife or to change your husband. You just talk to God and say, God, make me good. Change me so that I may be able to take care of her. change me, Lord, so that I may really, not to change your wife or your husband, but you are the one supposed to change. And Jesus is the one who can do it in your life. So when he changes you, you are going to be a very good husband to your wife through Jesus Christ. That's why you see that the society, people, they want to get rid of God. The devil doesn't want God in the system. Take away God from this, from everything. Believe me or not, you're going to crash. You are going to crash. Show me the families that standing strong, walking in one accord, overcoming the challenges they face in life. And I will tell you what is behind that family. You guys, you have a say here in your country that the family that prays together will always stay together. Mm-hmm. Which means that once you bring God in, he's going to do it through you and for you. And it's going to cause you to triumph. Thank you so much. You. This was the problem in the time here. You can't take good care of God's... You can't be a good steward of God. Not until you depend upon God. God first, then man second. Love God with all your heart and your strength and your soul. And then love your neighbor. This is the way we actually explain or define love. Love always desires to sacrifice self for the benefit of others. What is opposite of love is lust. Lust always desires to sacrifice others for the benefit of self. It is just the opposite. Let me say that again. Love always is to desire to sacrifice self for the benefit of other people. That is love. And what is opposite love is lust. Lust is always desires to sacrifice others for the benefit of self. And God will never bless that. That is always a struggle. That is always a struggle of living. That is always a struggle to make things work. And it will never work. Because God never commends on lust. He never blesses lust. Never, never. God is love. And he always blesses what is always through him. Because the Bible says that God's love is always powered in our hearts and it compels us to love others. I love that word compels. I don't know much about deep English, but what I know, compels means forcing or guiding us to love someone unlovable, to do something you shouldn't do. That's what the love of God does in our lives. Abel loved God and he died innocently. Blood. I think that he was the first saint in the Bible. And you see, Cain thought that what he did was okay. Now he's going to own everything. He's now a man of himself. And he's he doesn't have somebody who is somebody who is going to give him headache. But in other words, what he did, he was just punishing himself. If we don't walk in love, we always punish ourselves. If we pretend or we walk in Cain's kind of attitude, that is punishing ourselves. I don't care. I don't ask me about my brother. I just take good care of myself and myself alone. I tell you what, that is the source of miserable life. In Uganda, we have a teaching that we give to men, and we always refer to Abraham. That Abraham, wherever he went, he pitched tents, but he built the altar. I don't know whether you understand this. Let me try to define what I mean. Everywhere Abraham went with his wife, and even when we got Isaac and Ishmael, everywhere he went, he used to pitch tents, but built the altars. In other words, the altar is to sacrifice, is a place of sacrifice. The Bible says that we advise to sacrifice our bodies, a living sacrifice. Yeah. I mean, we always bring our lives on the altar. And ever since I discovered that secret, I said, "Thank you, Lord. There must be always an altar in my home. Place of prayer, time of prayer, where I bring my family and I bring them to the altar, and that's where we actually work on character, the altar, the outcome of the altar is good building character. Pitching the tent, that is personality. We have two ways of living. We have some people that are building their life on personality. Personality means see what I am, see what I have. I have a very big house. I have very big car. I have this position in the government. I have this skill. I have that. Building outwardly. But character is building from inside out. And we have a say that your skill, your money, your talent can take you far away, higher, where your character will never sustain you. Because always God builds on character. The change of life, where we love God with all our hearts, where we trust God, where we decrease and God increases, where we say, "God, we can do nothing without you. We need you, Lord." That's what exactly we are doing with men in Uganda. Once men come to realize that they can do nothing, that it's better to build character than personality, that is the beginning of good life. That is always the beginning of good life. I never knew some time back that what I was looking for, was behind my set of selfishness ambitions. What I always say, that selfishness always closes the door and you are in your own room. But unselfish opens up the door and you go out and you see the pasture. Just recently, my wife and other ladies from the church, they went to an island. First time my wife to ride a boat. And they sailed for like 5 hours to get to that island. And when they reached at the island, she didn't know what to expect, because she was expecting. She told me she didn't know what to expect, but they found so many people on that island. Loved God so much. They love the word of God. They are always running every morning to come, not to miss any single session. But she said, you know what? There is another side of the coin. There was no restroom. There's no restroom. When you ask them about the restroom, they just tell you to go as far as you want. And it is yourself. She came back and said, you know what, Joel? I don't know what to do, but we have to do something about this situation. We have to. Now she's going around raising funds to build the restroom to the brothers on the island. She didn't see that, not until she went out. When she saw out, that's when she saw the need. In other words, she started to think of caring for others. There is something I can do. There is something, Lord, to be done. There is something, Lord. You see how God is working on selfishness ambitions, and is changing our lives slowly to start thinking of others. Before I came to Christ, I really mind so much about my mother and my brothers. That's all. I didn't want to know anything besides that. I just wanted to know almost every day what goes on with my mom. Because our father died when I was 8, but my mom was there for me and for us all the time. The time of pain, the time of joy and laughter, the time of suffering, she was always there for us. And that actually, I picked a very much love towards my mom, as well as my brothers. That's all. So long as my brothers are okay, I don't care. As long as my mom is okay, I don't care. I could do whatever it takes to make sure that my mom is doing well. In fact, before I started working, I was in the vocational school for a trade school, and I specialized in making sofa sets, furniture, and roofing of the houses. And before I graduated, 1 year in school, I told my mom I told the principal that I want to come here early in the morning and work, make money, and support my mom. All the principal said, that's excellent. Here are the keys. And he gave me everything I wanted to make $20 a day. And though I was still young, but I was compelled by that love to go out at night and run and walk and up to the school where I used to make 20 shillings to change the environment, to change the situation at my mom's home and that. But that was all. I didn't want to do anything else. My mom and my brothers. We had tribes and clans. I didn't want to know anything. I didn't want to hear anything. And in fact, I counted many of my country people as enemies. The people from the north, they are too dark than me. Oh, when I see that, oh, I didn't want to do that. I never knew that if I want to be satisfied in my life, I have to cross the borders of my tribe. And I had to fight tribalism. I had to cross the borders of my clan. And ever since we started taking care of kids, I tell you, I feel I have the fulfillment of life. Ever since I said, Lord, now the door is open. Because one time we went to the up there in the north, and where the people were made to come in the camps and leave their areas, and I saw the kids and I saw people, helpless people, and I cried that night, and I said, Lord, I never knew that my country is in this state. You have, Lord, to do something. And the Lord just, in a very small, soft voice, he said, do what you can and leave the rest to me. That's when we started bringing these kids from the camps and started taking care of them. Some of them now, they are the ones who have graduated, and they are really promising when you see what God has done in their lives. When you care for others, God is going to care for you. Amen. Cain, that door is closed. And let me give you this as I'm soon winding up. The Bible says that God put a mark on Cain. One time I realized that that was a mark of judgment. Though he went outside and built the cities and called the city the name of his sons, and he was like, but he had the mark of judgment. The mark of judgment. Development without God. Prosperity with no God. Life with no God. Thank God. Because of Jesus. I think each one of us was marked. But thank God that Jesus came. Amen. And it changed the cycle. Instead of having the mark, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. We have the seal of the Holy Spirit upon us. Which indicates that we are children of the kingdom. We are children of the King. And we are sons and daughters of God. And we are not condemned. We are not judged. Jesus paid it all. Amen. The story of the Good Samaritan is very relevant. Let me just explain. Give me 2 minutes, Pastor. The Bible says that a certain man, that this is Luke chapter 10, you can read from verse 30. The Bible says that this man, certain man came and he fell in the hands of the robbers. They robbed everything and they beat him and they turned his clothes and they left him half dead. That is the spirit of Cain. The spirit of Cain is ever trying to excel. They killed him and they took everything he had, which indicates that is not love, but that is lust. But the Bible talks about three different groups of people. The Bible says that by good chance, his priest came. He came on his way and he saw him. And when he saw him, the Bible says that he passed by and he went on his way. And another chance came. The Bible talks about the Levites. The Levite also came. And for some reasons, I mean, for his religious reasons, he was not supposed to touch somebody like that. He just went his way and left this man who was half dead. Beaten, robbed, and he left him in that situation. The third group. But let me just pause a little bit and see. Do you know that some of our thinking can make us religious? Can build our own wall? Well, we can't cross this border. We can't go that far. We can't love that far. Sometimes we territory, tribes, clans can put us in the border. I mean, can close us that we may not do anything that God wants us to do in our time. This was a priest. Can you a priest? A priest is considered a man of God. Mm-hmm. The so-called man of God. But he was with no character, personality, just wrong robes, heart. Then the Levites, two different people, two different chances went by because of some personal reasons. But I thank God for the third group. This was just a layman. He was just an ordinary man. He was just a businessman. And he was going to do his own business. And the Bible says that when he saw this man, he was full of compassion. That word of compassion, when I read the Bible, the New Testament, it's written everywhere. The Bible talks about Jesus. Everywhere he went, he was full of compassion. And he had compassion about people. Compassion. This is what I'm telling men in my country, that we should always come down on our knees and ask God to give us that compassion. To think of others, to think of those who are suffering, to think of those who are helpless, those who are in pain, those who are left behind. In fact, we are building now a building. God told us we are putting up a building where my fourth daughter, Vicky, she's going to be responsible for the small kids, those who are dropped on the road and left in the hospitals. Sometimes the police, they call us and ask whether we have that program. And when we got Jonah, my son, I realized that he was just dropped somewhere at the church, and that's where somebody, the mother left him. I don't know whether the mother or the father, but he was left there. When I heard that story, I was full of compassion. I said, Lord, this is the young man. I want to be my son. And I just want to test a little bit of what you did for me. I was outcast. I was left dead. I was out, isolated out from God. But Jesus, you came. And through you now I'm adopted in the home of God. I have a father who never died now. I have a home. I have a family. And the family is everywhere. When I go to America, there is that family. When I go to Uganda, I have a big family. And I'm in the family of God because I was adopted. Yes. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection, I was adopted in the house of God. So, when these people called us like five times, Vic said, Daddy, why don't you go ahead and start that program? I love babies, and I can take care of babies. I said, sir, then my daughter, pray, let us pray. And we prayed for about 3-4 years. And now it has really become so real. We have started putting up a two-big room, room the house, where we are going to be taking care of those little ones. And we realize that we have the potential. We have, because if there is no anybody going to take them, we are there. We have a school. We are fathers and we are mothers. We love them. We are going to be the parents. If anybody else come and have the same compassion, you'll be free to take that kid. But no, if there's nobody else, I said, me and my house, we shall serve the living God in our time. So pray for us. Pray for us. The story of this good Samaritan touched my heart. He had to pause. He had to stop his agenda. I mean, his programs and his plans of the day. And he took a step to do something about somebody who was suffering. Someone in pain. Someone in pain. We have a say that strong man or a strong person is the one who can do something more than himself. What I mean is this. This guy, he didn't have everything, but he did what he could. And he took this man in the hospital, and he was there for some time. And when he was leaving, he said that, do whatever you can to restore his life, and I will pay you back. That means that he didn't have everything, but he went to work and get more so that this guy may be restored back to life. That is what God is looking for. That is what God is looking for, a church. That what it means, Christianity. Christianity begins from within. Begins with compassion. We are here to save life. We are here to serve God. Our master came that we may have life and have life more abundantly. That is the purpose of Jesus coming here. He didn't come to destroy life. In fact, the Bible says that Satan came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus came that we may have life, and have life more abundantly. Amen. More abundantly. Not just to compromise, but to save life. You can't tell me that you are serving people and you're here for people and you just kill young ones. And you just support abortion. And you just support evil and access of evil. That is not God. And that is not our God. Amen. Thank God for the church. We are the light. Hallelujah. We are representative of God in this world. And we are ambassadors of Christ. Jesus came to save, to give life, and to give life more abundantly. Anyone who is going to stand for life, God is going to bless him. God is going to stand with him. I tell you, when we had only 100 kids, I said, Lord, no more kids. No more kids, Lord. As if I was the one taking care of them. But one lady came. I think I told you about this. One lady came with her daughter. The father had died like 3 years ago. And she said, Pastor Joel, here is my daughter, and she's your daughter. You are the father. I said, what do you mean? I said, yeah, God told me to bring this kid to you. I said, God? And she was an unbeliever. I said, Mom, okay, we are going to let this kid go in class, but not listed among the champions, not until God speaks to me. Well, she said, okay. She went, and after 4 days, she passed away. She died. I didn't have to ask a God any more questions. I said, she's my daughter. Amen. From today, this one is my daughter. And the similar cases like that happen on and on and on and on and on and on. And now we have almost 600 kids. Wow. But let me tell you, God is taking care of them. They have never gone without food. Feeding that number of people, that is big money. And people, they think that I'm somebody with big account somewhere. But I just tell them I have Jesus.
Amen.
Compassion. The compassion. Let the church go back to the basics, where we have to serve one another, where we have to care for one another. And I thank you so much, brothers and sisters, especially you, many of you have taken your time to come over to Uganda and other parts of the world for the purposes of the kingdom. To stop what you are doing here. I know America, everybody is busy. And I learned that, and I don't always want to interrupt their program. When I stay in someone's house, I say, don't mind, go ahead and do your routine. I'm here in the Bible, and if you don't mind, let me see the TV. Give me the remote, and I find out what is good on TV, and I wait until you come back. I thank God for Brother Chad. I stayed in his apartment for many times, and I've been praying for Chad, and I believe God. I was so happy to hear that Chad now is improving, caring for one another. Thank you for coming to Uganda. That step of faith to stop what you did, your routine, and come. That is just a little bit of God who left the heavens. Some people, they always ask me, there are lions in Africa? Snakes, mosquitoes, and moth? I say, yes, there are lions. So? Oh, that is risking life coming there. And then I change my language and I said, it has been 5 years since I saw the snake. But if you are to do missions, you have to do it with compassion. Compassion compels you to go where you shouldn't go, to meet people whom you could not meet, to do something which is even beyond your reach, like a good Samaritan. Sometimes God intervenes and brings someone in our way. In Africa, we have a say that if you take a month without someone visiting your home, then you have to pray. If you take a year without someone coming to spend a night in your home, then you have to put a question mark, because the homes, they have two doors, the front and back. Someone comes and go. Well, that's what we say. You have to leave the doors open for visitors. You have someone to come and be blessed by you. Sometimes we pray God to bless us, and other times God make us to be a blessing. We are in two ways. You are blessed and you bless. Sometimes I'm the answer of some people praying somewhere. And when I reach, so many times I've realized that I'm the answer. God has sent me as an answer to bless. Thank you for blessing Africa. Thank you for coming to Uganda. I've been in this country. I know how beautiful is your country. All the conveniences, good conveniences you have here. To stop a bit and cross the Atlantic and Sahara Desert to come over to third world country, a small country like Uganda, that is sacrifice. Love is to sacrifice self for the benefit of others. Love always gives. Lust always gets. It's blessed to give than to receive. Let us always pray that God make us to be a blessing and to be stewards and flow. Because through us to others, through us to others, through us to others, redeeming life, saving life, protecting life, God guide and govern. We teach those kind of teachings to men in our country, that in their home they have to guard, to guide, and to govern the situation so that their people may have a good environment. Someone said that the road is construction. To put the yellow line between the road doesn't say that they don't want people to have good time while driving, but guard them not to kill themselves. In families and homes, there are no people now so far who are putting the line to help the young men not to kill themselves. Drugs, homosexual, and all the kind of evil going on. Maybe must be someone who put the line that don't cross this side to this side. Not to just stop them having good time, but to help them not to kill themselves. Even to guide the way to live. Even to govern the situation. To say, I'm here for you, my son. I'm here for you, my wife. I'm here for you, my brothers. I'm here, whatever it takes. I sacrifice my life for your benefit, for your good. And that's what God blesses. And that is good life. And that's being a good Samaritan in our time. And Jesus asked a question by the end of that story. And he said, who is the neighbor of the other? And the people said, that man who took him to the hospital. And he concluded by saying, go and do accordingly. That is the church, and that is the command. Love one another. Live for somebody else. Sacrifice for somebody else. For someone's benefit. Live that life, and God will always bless you. I'm so happy for the parents who are there for their children. I always urge men, you can't run away from your family. You can't neglect your children. Because a family where their father is negligent, the children, they might be two times orphans than the orphan. If the parents didn't play their parts. That's why we are running around the country and outside the country, calling back the men to come back in their positions, calling upon the parents, their hearts to turn to their children, and then the hearts of the children to turn back to their fathers. These are the time we are living in, and that is good life. Thank you so much. Let's pray.
Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you today.
Father, we thank you.
Father, we thank you for this word, and we thank you for this ministry. We lift up the children, the champions. Father, we lift up Joel and Sarah and their family. We thank you, Lord, that you have provided and you will continue. And that there is nothing that shall in any wise slow down the ministry of the gospel that is changing this nation by the word of God being implanted in these young people. So we thank you for it. And we give you praise for it. Thank you for your protection for them as the parents of these children, that they are bringing to pass the kingdom of heaven in that land and beyond. And we rejoice in it. And we give you praise. Show us what we're going to do to assist, to be the good Samaritan in this place. And we give you thanks and praise for it in Jesus' name.
And Lord, I want to lift up America in your hands.
Thank you, Lord.
In these changes now we are in, Lord, be God.
Yes.
Blessed is the nation whereby God of Israel is the God of that nation. Father, I want to commit America in your hands, Lord. And we pray for the changes for the better. We pray that the church shine and be the light in this country. Let the church and the light increase so that the darkness may increase. The darkness which has been surfacing, Lord, must come down.
Yes.
And I ask you, Lord, let the voice, as the name of this guy, Trump, let him be a trumpet, your trumpet, where you speak through your people.
Yes,
and we cover him with your blood that speaks better things than Abel's blood.
Yes.
Let the blood speak. Speaks intercession, mercy, peace, stability.
Hallelujah.
And may the angels of the Lord minister alongside this man and many others in their different leadership capacities, Father. And we declare peace everywhere in the corners of this country. Father, I thank you for all the administration and many others who are going to be elected, appointed in different offices. Father, yes. Lord, we pray that you reign everywhere.
Yes.
That when they sit to discuss issues concerning this country, let your Holy Spirit always come and achieve constructive ideas.
Hallelujah.
That will bring back
Hallelujah.
The glory
Hallelujah.
Of God in this country
yes.
and the whole world at large.
Yes.
We thank you for what you are doing, and we give you all the praises and glory and honor
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.